The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. We've got senior reporter David Drucker from the Washington Examiner here for his regular weekly appearance. David, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt radio program.
Hey, Kurt. Good to be back.
Well, David, we have an embarrassment of riches today as far as topics go. I've got this list here we could go through for an hour, but let's see where we're at. Let's start with Pennsylvania Senate race. David McCormick is a mere 987 votes behind Dr. Oz, and they are still counting. What do you think's going on there?
Oh, man, $64,000 question. You know, it's possible that when all the votes are counted, McCormick will be on top, even if he's not. And I'd rather be Oz if I had to choose at this point. I'd always really rather be the guy in front. Even if Oz holds him off, there's going to be a recount because it's going to be triggered under state law. The candidate that's losing at the end of regulation can forego the recount and just decide to lose. I just don't think that's going to happen here. Of course, the real news here is that the McCormick campaign is suing in state court to compel all 67 counties to count mail-in ballots that were received on time and have no other flaw except for there's no date handwritten on the outside of the envelope as required by state law. Now, they're using you're the lawyer here, but they're using a decision rendered by the Third Circuit on Friday that had nothing to do with this election, but a 2021 election in Lehigh County, Pennsylvania, that said such ballots should be counted as the legal basis for asking the state to intervene here on their behalf. And what McCormick really is now dealing with, in my estimation, is not necessarily what the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court may do. It's the appellate court in Pennsylvania, but the political blowback, because Republicans and Republican voters get very itchy when states are asked to make any exceptions to this, to state law, even, you know, if a lawyer may deem such a change immaterial. And so, you know, you've got the Pennsylvania GOP, the RNC, I guess, intervening in a sense on Oz's behalf on the principle that you shouldn't make any changes to the mail-in ballots to count them if there's anything missing from them. And then you've got the NRSC, the Senate campaign arm for the Republicans, just stating their opposition to making any changes. And so McCormick's going to have to win this in the court of public opinion. Now, obviously, if he ends up the nominee, maybe this all goes away. But this has just become a very fascinating situation.
Yeah, it's quite challenging. But look, it's going to be Dr. Oz or David McCormick, and they're going up against John Fetterman. And the conventional wisdom is that either one of these guys can take him. Am I reading that right?
I think the conventional wisdom is correct, given the political atmospherics and just how competitive Pennsylvania is in the year 2022, let's say, versus the year 2002. Right? So 20 years ago, Pennsylvania was always just competitive enough for Republicans to challenge for it, let's say, in presidential contests. And it did send Republicans to Congress as a part of their Senate delegation. But the state really has become super competitive. And the atmosphere for Democrats is just, I mean, it's as bad as an atmosphere I've seen for a political party, I guess, since 2018, when it was almost that bad. For
well, look.
That's why I think Oz or McCormick is very likely to win the general election.
Well, right now, you know, President Biden is polling a little behind monkeypox, and J.P. Morgan says gas prices around the country are going to be about $6 a gallon, which us in California are going, you pikers, yeah, you know nothing of high gas prices. If we go into November with $7 a gallon gas, and more of some of the kind of chaos we've seen, including, you know, baby formula fiascos and this stuff. How many seats do you think the Democrats can lose?
Well, you have to look at it like this, Kurt. How many seats are available just given all of the realignment that has already occurred? I mean, one of the things that Republicans were able to do in 2010 when they won 63 seats, a net of 63, is there was sort of this alignment, realignment underway, and the political atmosphere in Obama's first term was sort of the catalyst to sort of like get everything else finished that had been lagging behind. And so there's not necessarily as many seats available, even in a favorable political environment, just given how polarized our politics are, how few competitive seats there are just on the natural compared to a dozen years ago. However, the more this metastasizes in terms of the environment and the more the problems Democrats are facing multiply, the more likely it is that Republicans will be able to win seats that Biden won, you know, let's say somewhat easily in 2020. And, you know, some of these seats will probably snap back 2 years later. This is what we see after a wave. But in the meantime, it could give Republicans a much bigger majority than they otherwise would have had.
Well, David Drucker, senior reporter at the Washington Examiner, here's my thought. If you are a Democrat in a plus five to plus seven seat, you are in grave danger right now. This is Kurt Schlichter. Stick around for more of the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program.
And thank you, Kurt Schlichter, for filling in for me today.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. This is Kurt Schlichter. I am senior columnist at townhall.com, retired United States Army colonel, noted Los Angeles trial lawyer, author of the forthcoming book From Regnery, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America, which you must get immediately. We'll be back, The Fall and Rise of America. Let's get to the good stuff. Byron York, Washington Examiner's chief political correspondent, one of my favorite regulars here on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program, my guest host. Byron, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kurt.
Byron, there are so many things going on. We could literally take the whole hour, and frankly, I'm almost tempted to. But I think, and this is my theorem, I think that the biggest event that's happened in the last 48 hours, and there's been a lot of them, is the total capitulation of State Farm when it was revealed that they were subsidizing one of these freak show gender studies things. It came out that they were supporting this in schools, and there was a huge backlash, I think mostly independent agents going, my customers are calling me and asking what the hell is going on. And State Farm completely collapsed and absolutely backed down from supporting this kind of perverted weirdness. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a huge thing, and I think it may be indicative of a trend, because I think a lot of people looked at this, and I think there's two ways to oppose it. I mean, one, you can think, these gender studies thing, this program, Gender Cool, this is all a terrible idea. Or you could say, it doesn't really matter whether it's a terrible idea or not. Why is an insurance company doing this? I mean, this is absolutely outside its field as an insurance company, and I don't want my insurance company doing stuff like this. So, I mean, there were a lot of reasons to oppose it. And, you know, one of the things I'm wondering is we've been through this moment of kind of maximum corporate wokeness. And I'm not suggesting it's going away, but State Farm is clearly beating a hasty retreat. There are perhaps some indications that Disney thought maybe it's gotten out over its skis a little bit. People have been trying to get answers from Major League Baseball now that we see record turnout in Jim Crow 2 Georgia. They're saying, you know, do you have any regrets about pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia now that we see that tons and tons of people are voting after this allegedly restrictionist law that was passed, which, of course, the point is it wasn't restrictionist at all. It was common sense election reform, and now tons of people are voting and everything's fine. And Major League Baseball, following the president's lead, had gotten in a big moral huff and pulled the All-Star game at. So I'm wondering whether maybe there's at least a slight pullback from this wokeness that a lot of corporate entities had engaged in.
Well, Byron York of the Washington Examiner, I want to talk about Georgia in just a minute, because I think that's a very interesting primary and may reveal a lot about the future. But keeping with this whole corporate wokeness thing, I think a lot of conservatives share my view that if you are a corporation who embraces this woke agenda, who, among other things, subsidizes an assault on children and parents in public schools, which is what this gender bizarre nonsense really is, you are my enemy, and I want to use all our political power to hurt you in retaliation to ensure that you don't do this again. It's not just live and let live. It's if you cross us, we're going to crush you. And that's what Ron DeSantis did in Florida. And frankly, I don't understand arguments that say corporations can use their culture and political power against us to achieve bizarre and damaging cultural goals. Yet we are somehow restrained from using our political power to defeat them. What do you think of that theory? Because I think a lot of conservatives are beginning to subscribe to it.
Well, there's been a long history of activist groups using boycotts to change the behavior of corporations. I mean, Jesse Jackson in the last 40, 50 years has spent most of his time doing that sort of thing, challenging boards of directors, pressuring them, threatening boycotts. Companies do respond to that kind of stuff. And there's no reason that conservative groups couldn't do the same sort of thing when you see something like this State Farm stuff. And I think what we've seen is kind of the a lot of business operates on fear, right? I mean, you've seen other businesses get swallowed up when
yep.
some other company comes in and does something better, has a better idea, et cetera. So they will respond. So I think that this is actually kind of a healthy thing that we've seen after State Farm did this ridiculous thing that they've completely 360'd because they got some public exposure and pressure.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot more of that, Byron York. And frankly, I don't mind conservative politicians like Ron DeSantis or Kevin McCarthy when he takes a House in November, which I think, considering gas prices, is nearly a foregone conclusion, calling up corporations and saying, you're taking positions that are against my people. That makes you my enemy. Do you understand what that means to you?
Yeah.
It's a little mafia-esque, but on the other hand, Byron, they're grooming our kids in schools. There's a red line there. They've crossed it. It's war.
You know, this foregone conclusion thing, I think, is really, really important. I don't know if you've been talking about it. Have you heard about this new memo from Doug Sosnick?
No.
Doug Sosnick being a very senior, respected Democratic pollster, strategist, was in the Clinton White House. That's where he became well known in the 90s. Written this new memo to Democrats, and it's incredibly pessimistic. It says, look, basically, unless we can make something huge about a Supreme Court Roe versus Wade decision, unless we can pull a rabbit out of our hat, we are toast. And what he does was he lays out the mistakes that the Biden administration has made to bring Democrats to this point. And the real short version is he starts off with a Biden honeymoon. Then July 4th of last year, Biden holds this Independence Day Freedom from COVID event in which he kind of declares the pandemic over. And, of course, we know what happened then. There was a Delta variant, and then there was Omicron. Let's just say COVID wasn't over. The next month, there's the disastrously bungled withdrawal from Afghanistan. And people began to question, these are independents, some Democrats, obviously Republicans, whether the Biden administration can competently handle issues. So when inflation becomes really huge, Americans are worried, and Biden suggests that, don't worry, we're in control, you know, we're in charge here, we know what to do. They're very skeptical about this because they have already seen what happened with COVID, then they've seen what happened in Afghanistan. Now they're watching it with the economy, and they just have absolutely no faith in Biden or Democratic efforts to handle things now. And he also said, do not think that voters are going to make their decision in the last couple of weeks before the election. They're making their decision right now. And as a matter of fact, it may already be made right now. This may already be set in stone. It's one of the more pessimistic Democratic documents I've seen in quite a while.
Well, I think that accurately sums it up. Look, gas is $6.79 right now here in California. I think if you are, well, I'll ask you because you are the expert. You are the chief political correspondent at the Washington Examiner, after all. I think if you are in a Democrat plus five to plus seven district, you are at grave risk in November. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, just look at a couple of things. And this is political wonky stuff. But first of all, the president's job approval rating is the single biggest predictor of how his party is going to do in midterm elections. And if the president, and historically, if the president's job approval rating is above 50%, his party still loses seats, but a small number, maybe a dozen. And if it's below 50%, it's 30-plus seats, the losses, historically. And obviously, Biden is struggling to stay in the lowest of the low 40s range.
Right now, Biden is polling right there with monkeypox. And I think the pox is a little ahead. Byron York, chief political correspondent of the Washington Examiner, that's all the time we have. I could go on for hours with you because there's no one who knows more about politics in D.C. than you, and I love having you. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. Stick around. We have so much more to come.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home, or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
We have one of my favorite guests. He's running for Senate in the great state of Missouri on the Republican ticket. He has a lot of great qualities. He's the attorney general there. He's been fighting for freedom. And he has another great quality. He's not Eric Greitens. This is Eric Schmidt. Attorney General Schmidt, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program.
Good to be with you again, Kurt.
Okay. Our guys are politically savvy. They're looking at the Senate race in Missouri. A huge amount depends on it. Let me give you my theory. Tell me if you agree. I think you're a sure thing in this environment if you get the nomination. I think if Eric Greitens gets the nomination, this is a guy who was, you know, caught taking pictures of his girlfriend in his bondage sex dungeon. I think that may be problematic. Now, look, a bondage sex dungeon, a powerful plus for a candidate here in Los Angeles. I think that would be, something in his favor. Not so much for the show me state. Am I off in my analysis?
Well, and then there are more, recent and serious allegations as well from his former wife about abuse of her and her and their son. I mean, it's really a disaster. And the polling would show you that, you lose the seat. And we just simply can't afford that here with a 50-50 Senate. You can't lose Missouri. You don't get to 51 votes if you lose Missouri because you got states like Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and Nevada. We need to make sure Missouri stays red, and we're well positioned to do it. There's a poll that came out recently that had us up by a significant number, 8 points, and we're surging. And I think that mainly is, Kurt, is that people are looking for a fighter. They don't want a quitter. They want a fighter, somebody who's not going to back down, who's going to go to D.C. and shake things up and be willing to take on these tough fights as I have as Attorney General. I mean, I was the first AG to file suit on the vaccine mandate. We won that. We had the Remain in Mexico lawsuit. We won that. We've been fighting with the Biden administration to implement Title 42. I know we're probably going to talk about that because that's recent.
Oh, yes.
So we've taken on these big fights. We actually filed a lawsuit 2 weeks ago, Kurt, the first of its kind, that alleges that big government, that the federal government, is colluding with big tech to silence people's First Amendment rights. And it culminated with, of course, Mary Poppins and the Ministry of Truth, but much more sinister and far-reaching than that. But the point is, the Democrats are playing for keeps, right? They want to add states to the union. They want to pack the court. They want to federalize elections. We got to get proven conservative fighters in the Senate to stand up, push back, and save our country. And I think that's why our campaign's got a lot of momentum, and we're poised to win here in a couple months.
Well, you know, Eric, I've had a chance to get to know you and know some of the achievements. As a lawyer, I watch how you've used litigation tactically as part of a bigger strategy to affect change when we don't hold either of the two elected branches of government. And I think I think right there that uniquely qualifies you not just as, hey, we just need a generic Republican who's not got bizarre sex scandals in his past, but as somebody who will actually get in there and contribute to the fight. One of the ways you've been leading is on this Section 42 thing, or Title 42 thing, Section 42. Can you explain what that is and what the effect will be and what you're doing about it?
Yeah, so President Trump, when we had a secure border, one of the reasons, of course, it's leadership from the top, and we had that under President Trump. But one of the policies that he put in place was to say, look, Title 42, it deals with the ability to turn folks away, to send people back because of fear of the communicable diseases. We don't know where people are coming from. That's the truth. Like, we have no idea right now where, you know, there's 230,000+ people that we know of that were border encounters last month. That's a record. Okay, we're about to hit a seasonal surge anyway. So Title 42 is a tool for law enforcement to turn people away. In fact, it accounts for about 50% of all the expulsions. And so what does Joe Biden want to do? He wants to eliminate that. And we've seen waves and waves of illegal immigration since he's been president. This would be a tsunami, literally a tsunami. And so the border would be overwhelmed. It already looks, you know, I've been down there twice. It's a total disaster. And so Missouri, Arizona, and Louisiana filed a lawsuit and said, you know, Joe Biden, you don't get to do it. You didn't go about this doing the right way. It's a terrible, it's arbitrary, capricious thing. It's a terrible policy move. And the court agreed with us. We got a temporary restraining order a few weeks ago. Then on Friday, a big win, that injunctive release was continued. And so it's a big win to keep Title 42 in place. Now, again, you have to unbelievably sort of force the executive branch to implement it and to do it, and we're going to continue to stay on that. But it's a big win no matter what, because if that goes away, those Border Patrol agents will tell you at the border, it's a mess. It takes a powerful tool away from them. And so it's a big victory for the rule of law and for greater border security, but we still got some work to do.
Well, Eric Schmidt, Attorney General of Missouri and candidate for Missouri Senate on the Republican side, and also not a guy with a lot of freak show baggage in his past. The Hugh Hewitt radio program audience are very tuned in and very attuned to legal issues. And with this Title 42 issue, what was the exact theory why President Biden couldn't cancel or not implement it? I'm kind of curious. I don't think he should lift it. But what is the legal argument that you and others made to stop him from doing it? How did that work?
Yeah, to get into the weeds a little bit, is that essentially that the Administrative Procedures Act requires the Biden administration to balance interests, right? To have a notice and comment period, to hear from other points of view. And they didn't do that properly. And so, you know, again, this is a part and parcel of a lawlessness from this Biden administration. They just want to go do things when they want to do them, and they don't really care about what the law says. And we said, you know, you didn't do it the right way. You didn't balance the interest. Oh, by the way, states like Missouri, which aren't border states, are actually border states because the fentanyl, the illegal activity makes its way into our state. We have a financial burden that comes with that, in addition to the illegal activity, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking. So we have an interest just as much as a Texas or an Arizona does. And the court agreed. And by the way, their decision-making process, even if they did it the right way, was flawed because it was arbitrary and capricious, right? They did not really take into account the real factors of the dangers that this would cause to balance out what they claimed the benefits were. And so it was really a technical aspect of the Administrative Procedures Act, but of course a broader policy argument that this was the wrong way to go. And by the way, we're entering into a seasonal surge anyway. There's no good time to do this, Kurt. But when you're entering sort of a peak time of year anyway, it would just make no sense at all. And, again, it was just, you know, another example, Missouri and Texas have a lawsuit to finish President Trump's border wall. Literally, Congress passed millions of dollars. They appropriated millions of dollars to finish that wall. Joe Biden, every month, cuts checks to contractors specifically not to do that. It makes no sense. You see those materials on the ground. They're rusting. They go a long way in helping our Border Patrol agents down there sort of not have to patrol as many miles. It goes a long way in protecting the border. But they're not interested in that. They want to lecture us about the sovereignty of other countries' borders, but just really aren't interested in protecting this, you know, our own southern border.
Well, Eric Schmidt, candidate for Missouri Senate, we had a very interesting event happen yesterday. It was revealed early yesterday that State Farm, the insurance company, was subsidizing one of these bizarre school programs designed to talk about gender and identity and all sorts of other groomy nonsense. And there was such a backlash coming from, and I think it was mostly local insurance sellers who were hearing from their people calling into headquarters going, what the hell are you doing? That by the end of the day, State Farm had backed off completely. What do you think the Republican response to woke corporations doing, among other things, enabling this whole freak show rainbow of woke insanity, including some of the worst stuff, which is the attacks on our children in schools?
Everything ought to be on the table. Everything ought to be on the table here as far as, you know, like with Disney and Ford, I mean, these special benefits that these corporations get ought to go away. I mean, the American people shouldn't be subsidizing, you know, this nonsense. I mean, I think when you see, you know, what would happen when, you know, Delta and Coca-Cola and all these companies were losing their minds over states enacting election integrity measures tells you all you need to know about where their politics are. And we shouldn't stand back and accept that. I mean, one of the things that I'm really proud of we've done in Missouri is we have exposed a lot of this activity that a few years ago parents would have been shocked to find, but they learned is actually happening in their schools. So, for example, I've sued the largest school district in Missouri, Springfield Public Schools, which is in southwest Missouri, for hiding documents related to critical race theory. Things like the oppression matrix, right, that divides students by oppressor and oppressed. Literally a pyramid that tells you that if you say something like you're colorblind, that you believe that people should be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, that that's covert white supremacy. I mean, this stuff, the gender unicorn, this stuff is nuts. And I think we need to be relentless in exposing it and going after. We also found out yesterday, Kurt, that the National School Boards Association was advocating for the National Guard in addition to the FBI
being
out on parents. It's crazy. And so Missouri has sued, you know, for more documents related to that. We've sued the Missouri School Boards Association to figure out what did you know, when did you know it, and were you coordinating? We sued a school district here for creating an FBI tip line and not revealing the documents. So I think we have to go in all the way here and make sure that
Eric Schmidt, how can we help you? We have about 10 seconds.
SchmidtForSenate.com. You can help out there. And then, of course, follow us on the Twitter tweets and the Facebooks.
Eric Schmidt, Attorney General of Missouri, candidate for Missouri Senate. Thank you very much for joining us on a Hugh Hewitt program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. More to come. Stick around. The most important thing you can do right now is listen to my next guest. She is one of my favorite guests when I guest host here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I love her politics. I love her southern accent. I just love having in our Senate Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator Blackburn, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt radio program.
Well, I'm delighted to join you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is always a pleasure to have you. Boy, you have been fighting the battle in Washington. I watch your Twitter feed, and you are just laying down the law to these weirdos, losers, and lunatics that have taken over the Democrat Party.
Every day, I say, I get up and put on the armor and go fight for five things: faith, family, freedom, hope, and opportunity. And Kurt, you know, if we get those things right, we can always pull this country back from the brink. We can make certain that we're hopeful for better days. that the best opportunities are going to be ahead of us, not behind of us, because our nation is going to be a more perfect union and stronger every single day. And we have to keep in mind, Reagan told us, we don't pass freedom along in the bloodstream. Every generation's got to go fight for it. So this should be our fight to push back on the leftists that are trying to implement and cement government control.
Well, you know, Senator Blackburn, I'm going to take a little tangent from what I have written down here on my list of things to talk to you about, and I could talk to you for an hour. I find one of the things I find troubling about our conservative movement is there is a strain of pessimism in it. I guess it's because we've been beaten on and betrayed by some of our alleged leaders for so long. A lot of our people are like, well, we can't do anything. Nothing's going to change even if we win. Nothing's going to happen. We'll always lose. And I just find that so contrary to the energy, the excitement, the power of the ideology of freedom that we embrace. What could we do to fight that kind of pessimism?
You know, I actually had a conversation with someone this weekend about this very thing, because they were fussing and saying, well, if we take the Senate back, what's the Senate going to do? And I said, you know, when we hold the majority, we can keep bad judges from going on the bench, and bad judges make decisions that take away your freedom. And what we have to realize is that it matters who wins, and it matters who is in control and who is setting policies. And the difference is the Democrats have an agenda. They've got a tick list of the things they want to do to this country and to your freedoms. They want to expand the court. They want to make D.C. a state. They want to make Puerto Rico a state so they can give them senators and then control the argument. And what we have to say is, no, we're not going to let that happen, because we have a vision. And that vision includes a nation that is free, freedom, free people, free markets, people that are able to live out their version of the American dream. So I am very hopeful for this country, because I think we've got the tool set to win. I think we've got the tool set to push back on the Democrats. And I think we can use that love of freedom and free people that will help us say, oh, no, Democrats, you are not going to implement socialist policies, Marxist theologies, and you're not going to take away our freedoms.
Well, Senator Marsha Blackburn, I love hearing that. I love hearing that, because for too long there were a lot of Republicans who I think were afraid to get in there and mix it up and really stand up for the values that you just expressed and that I see you defending out there on social media. There is a lot of pushback to this cultural fight. Yesterday we saw something very important. We saw a revelation in the morning that State Farm, just the most all-American, just normal insurance company you could imagine, was funding one of these weird, bizarre gender programs in schools. There was so much pushback, mostly at the local level, where local, you know, the local people in your community who sell State Farm were hearing from their friends and neighbors, I don't want to be any part of a company that does that. They were pushing up the ladder. Senator Blackburn, by 5 p.m. that afternoon, the State Farm had put out a message that we're not doing this anymore. This isn't what we're about. We are stopping. Do you see this as a template for fighting back against the power of woke corporations leveraging their influence to try and change our culture without our permission?
Oh, absolutely. People are speaking up. They're realizing that the leftist groups and organizations, many of them funded by George Soros, that they have used corporate America to push their agenda, because guess what? They couldn't get it through in the state chambers, and they know that education policy is set by school boards, by state school boards, and that one of the things that is going to affect your children very much is who's in charge of that curriculum committee. And so people know this, And they are beginning to push back. And here's the thing, and I think we saw this play out during COVID, and of course, the first big action item was the Virginia governor's list. People have set in these diversity, these different workshops at their place of work in their corporations, things they were mandated to go to by their HR department. And when you have these inclusion, equity workshops, changing the way words are used, and they've done that corporately, and people thought, okay, I've had to put up with this at work, but you're not going to teach my kids this because I think it's wrong. And they started realizing during COVID that some of these policies they had been forced to sit through corporately were being foisted on their children in the classroom, and they basically said, oh, no, you don't. So they showed up at school board meetings, and the National School Board should be ashamed for wanting the National Guard to come to school board meetings.
Ridiculous.
Parents have said, oh, no, you don't. It changed the Virginia governor's race. They, as parents, want to weigh in on what their children are learning. And then you have so much that is taking place around getting school board members, whether it's Virginia Beach or San Francisco, people that are going to respond to the parents. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were talking about Facebook censoring me online and taking down my post about the competition between biological male and biological female. And this is someone that lives in California. And, Kurt, they were talking about how with people they know, they had heard from people about how wrong they thought it was for Facebook to censor me, take down my post, not allow me to support girls competing athletically. And they call this hate speech. Well, no, you know, this is an area where, Kurt, there are people who have worked for decades in women's rights, support Title IX. They want biological females competing against biological females and biological males competing against biological males.
Well, Senator Blackburn, we've only got 1 minute left. One thing that always impresses me about you when we talk is that you're always telling me what your constituents have been telling you. It shows you have your finger on the pulse of your community as opposed to on the pulse of the Washington Post. We've got about 15-30 seconds left. What are the other big issues besides the wokeness issues that your folks in Tennessee are concerned with right now?
Inflation, open border, crime on the streets. Those are some of the top issues that we hear about. Right now, we're also hearing a lot about big tech and its impact on kids. So I have a guide for parents. They can pull it down on my social media at Marsha Blackburn or on our website and help keep those kiddos safe this summer.
Well, thank you, Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. I am Kurt Schlichter. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. We will be right back. Down engines on. We are back on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. Hi, I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter, author of the new book, We'll Be Back, The Fall and Rise of America, available from Regnery. You should pre-order it immediately. Throwing a little Major Tom in there with a little countdown because we have quite the countdown going on in Pennsylvania, which brings me to my next guest, my friend Dave McCormick, a former United States Army officer who is a fellow Gulf War veteran. Of course, he was out pounding the ground. I was out washing cars. Now he is neck and neck, I think 987 votes apart from Dr. Oz, his competitor, and he's got a new lawsuit to make sure all the votes are counted. Hopefully, future Senator McCormick, how are you this morning?
Hey, Kurt, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime. Boy, you are neck and neck with Dr. Oz. It is razor close, and you guys are trying to count every vote. You've got a new lawsuit out there, and there's been some static on it. Can you give us the ground truth on that new lawsuit?
Yes. Again, thanks for having me. So just to put things in perspective, So it was a week ago today. We had an incredible day. Tuesday was a record turnout in the Republican primary. We had, you know, great enthusiasm. We felt it the days leading into it. And we came out of that with Mehmet Oz and I in essentially a statistical tie. He was a couple thousand votes up when we closed out Wednesday morning. And steadily that has been chipped away. And here we are a week later. And I got to tell you, I watched all this from a distance 6 months ago as a business guy. But you see the ballot counting process and the election process and what a mess it is. And the frustration that I have and I think others have. I mean, here we are. I thought this would be decided the night of or early the next morning. And here we are a week later, still literally counting votes. The military votes, which you and I think care so much about, are just the final day is today to receive those. And what this lawsuit is about was essentially a court ruling that had already come out that required Republican ballots that were cast and received prior to Election Day to be counted. So what we're talking about here is there's 67 counties, and we had a lawsuit to require those counties to count Republican ballots that were cast and received prior to Election Day. They've all been time-stamped by the County Board of Elections, and these are legitimate votes where the voter didn't handwrite the date on them, but again, they were time-stamped. So since they were time-stamped, why would anyone want to throw those votes out? And that's what this lawsuit is about, just to have the counties ensure that those Republican ballots are included in the vote count.
David McCormick, you don't know what these they could all be Dr. Oz or somebody else's votes, correct?
Yeah, we don't know what those votes say. We know that we've done particularly well with military mail-ins,
and those aren't at issue right now. Those aren't the ones you're talking about.
We're talking about absentee ballots.
Okay.
So it would be any absentee ballot that was received prior to Election Day and stamped by the County Board of Elections. That's what this is about.
Understood.
And we don't know what the results will be. We've done well in the past on the 140,000 absentee ballots that came in because that was an area of focus in our campaign. But we don't know what these votes will be. We do know that at this moment, a week into this, that there are many, many, and we don't even know the exact number, many votes that haven't yet been counted. And so this lawsuit is just to ensure that those votes are counted as we finalize. And just to put this in perspective, I think this will, this count will come together in the next couple of days. We'll certainly go to a recount. We're at a tiny, tiny difference. And the recount will be resolved by statute in the next 10 days or so. And we'll move forward on a Republican nominee that can go beat John Fetterman. So we're going to get through this. We're going to get through it relatively quickly, but we got to get through it well because the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania want to make sure that they're making the right pick here. And it's been a hard-fought campaign, and we need to resolve it in a high-quality way.
Well, David McCormick, I've had a chance to get to know you, and of course we share some background in the United States Army. So I'm kind of hoping you win, but there's always the possibility that you'll lose. You're a businessman, you're a soldier. You understand that we don't always get what we want. If you come out at the end behind Dr. Oz, will you unreservedly support Dr. Oz in that potential fight against John Fetterman?
Yeah, I said this before the election. Yes, I would support whoever the nominee is. This is not about me or any individual person. This is about the country. This is about getting a Republican nominee that can beat John Fetterman and make sure the Senate flips back to Republican. And so, yeah, I mean, everything I said on the campaign trail, that I believe the country's at risk. And, I obviously think I'm the best candidate or I wouldn't have run. And I believe I'd be the best senator. But should the voters not choose me, then I would support Mehmet Oz and wish him great success and fight hard to make sure that Republicans win.
Will you get out on the trail for him if asked? And hopefully he'd do the same for you.
Well, I haven't thought exactly about how, but I certainly will do what it takes and what's best for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and for the country. That's been my entire life is about America first. just like you, from the time I was 18 and volunteered to go to West Point. And I'll always put Tutsi first, and I'll always put the Commonwealth first. That's the most important thing for me, and that's what it means to be a patriot. I know you know that.
Well, David, I wasn't West Point, and I'm not going to hold West Point against you as an officer candidate school graduate.
Well, you know, listen.
But look, you, whoever wins this, and again, I'm hoping it's you. Tell me about your strategy for taking on John Fetterman. Very popular with the progressives, going to have all the money in the world. How do you beat this guy in Pennsylvania?
Well, I think there's two things. I think, we have better ideas. And the beauty of what's happening at this moment is the failure of Biden's ideas. And John Fetterman's more extreme than Joe Biden. He's left of Bernie Sanders, as you know, Kurt. You can compare our ideas versus their ideas. Their ideas are creating 40-year high in inflation. Their ideas are creating energy dependence. Their ideas are killing the fracking industry in Pennsylvania, which is so key. Their ideas are leading to an open border and a fentanyl crisis in Pennsylvania. So their ideas are failing the American people. They're failing working families. They're failing Pennsylvanians. And our ideas, and by that I mean America First ideas that took place really under President Trump, where he did the country a great service by taking us in the right direction. We had a record economy. We had secure borders. We had energy dominance. And so first and foremost, it's a war of ideas. We have to have a candidate that can fight on those ideas and show what's best for Pennsylvania. The second part of it, I think, is to create a contrast. And the contrast here with John Fetterman is this is a guy who, you know, by the way, he's obviously in the hospital, coming out of the hospital, so I wish him well. But when he's out on the campaign trail, I think the contrast has to be this is a guy who, walks around like he's sort of a badass and, tattoos and all that.
Was he a paratrooper and a graduate of the Ranger School? Just kidding. I don't think so.
I'm
unimpressed.
And has a trust fund, Kurt. So
well,
that's the on bio that we need to make, too. So, it's going to be hard fought. Our nominee needs to create a great team. Needs to be resilient, needs to be able to marshal resources. This is a Super Bowl. And when I was, leading up to the election, I was making that point that there's three things the voters were focused on, and this is why I think I did so well on Election Day. They were focused on who has the right ideological alignment, who believes what they believe and is going to fight for it, who can win the general election against John Fetterman, and then who can get to the Senate on day one, hit the ground running, and deal with this crisis that America faces. And that's how I think we should campaign against John Fetterman. Who can hit the ground on day one and not need on the job training? And Fetterman is not well equipped for the challenges of this moment. His ideas are bad, and that's why I think we'll win in November.
Well,
I hope it's me who leads the charge. But if it's not me, I'll certainly support whoever's leading the charge.
Well, Dave McCormick, candidate for the Senate for the Republicans in Pennsylvania, neck and neck with Dr. Oz, fighting it down to the last vote, as we should, so that the winner wins. You're going to be asked when you get to the United States Senate to take some tough positions. Yesterday, our alleged president went out there, or maybe even the day before, and kind of blew right through the strategic ambiguity policy that the United States has exercised before on Taiwan. He basically said, yes, if Taiwan's attacked by the People's Republic of China, the United States will intervene militarily. And of course, there was a lot of walking back. But here's my thought on that. And again, you're a veteran of the Gulf War. You served our country, Bronze Star recipient. My thought is, if we're going to defend another country, and I am open to defending Taiwan from China, I want our elected representatives in the House and our elected senators to take a position on it. I want the people's voice heard, not just one guy deciding, hey, here's a policy and I'm going to drag the other 330 million Americans along with me. What's your position on how we make that choice, and what kind of choice do you think we should make when the issue's posed to you?
Yeah, well, I think yesterday, that statement was just, should chill us all, because it seems so cavalier, it seems so unthought through, and it really makes you wonder. I mean, if we could blunder into some sort of huge fight with China over the miscalculation or misstatement of a president, doesn't seem to be totally with it at times. I think the posture with Taiwan should be the following. I think we should have the old Reagan mantra of peace through strength. I think we should have very significant capability in the South China Sea and be have lots of abilities to do different things.
Well, Dave McCormick, running for Senate in Pennsylvania, wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks for being on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter. We'll be back.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.